Monsignor Rossi, my dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious, sisters and brothers in Christ. When I was preparing for my talk tonight and the reflections here at Mass, I didn't realize that I would be celebrating Mass in the crypt church here at the National Shrine. I should have known that. I should have thought about that. But when I came in here this evening, it brought back great memories because I was a student here in Washington, D.C. many years ago, student of Father Robert McCreary, who's with us for Mass today. And it was in this chapel that I was, I received the minor ministries of the church, was tonsured, and where I was ordained a deacon. So this is a very special place for me. And as I was reflecting during the penitential rite this evening, the thought that came to my mind is how shallow I was in those years in terms of my awareness of God's grace and my genuine commitment to the gospel and a genuine spirit of repentance for my sins. Now, I thought at the time, as I think most of us do when we're seminarians or religious who are taking vows, that I was very serious. And I'm sure that I was as serious as I could be in those days. But as I look back to the past and know the truth about myself after all these years, I hadn't come very far at all. And I still haven't. You know, all of us have a story of God's grace in our lives. And it's more a story of our refusal of that grace or our indifference to that grace than it is a story of our acceptance of that grace. And the reason I say this is because I see a lot of religious here, and I think some seminarians, they look like seminarians anyway, and I would invite them, and of course all of us here, because of our baptism, we all have those basic commitments to God, to try to be more serious about receiving the grace that God gives us in all the circumstances of our lives. I think most of us who are older look back in regret on the fact that we didn't study as hard as we should have in school. We didn't develop the talents that God gave us to develop. We certainly haven't been generous with the poor and loved others as we should. And it would be very nice if we would learn that early in life rather than at the end of our lives. You know, so for those of you who are still young, if you think you've been serious, you probably aren't. And it's important for you to get serious about the grace of conversion and the grace of mission that God has given each one of you. Our first reading today is taken from the book of Genesis and is that wonderful story of the dream of Jacob. And a lot of the tradition of the church in terms of sacred places like this wonderful shrine have their beginning in this reading. An example of that, a small example, but an important one, is in the story you hear that Jacob poured oil on the stone on which he rested his head, and in that action dedicated that stone as a holy place. You know, the anointing with oil of our churches has its origin in this story, because to be marked with oil, to be anointed, in the tradition of the Jewish people and in the tradition of the church today, is to be set aside for the work of God. And that place, that holy place where Jacob had his dream, was a place dedicated to God. Now remember that you have been anointed with oil. We don't just anoint our places, we anoint our bodies. In baptism, you were anointed on the forehead with oil, as a symbol that you were being set apart, that you belong to God and you're set apart for His work. All of us who were confirmed were once again marked with oil on our head as a sign that we were set apart for the work of God. Those of us who are ordained priests have our hands marked with oil as a symbol that our hands are no longer ours, but they belong to Jesus Christ. And those of us who have been blessed to be ordained as bishops, they poured oil over our heads, running down our necks, because we really need help to to understand that we are to be totally given, totally dedicated, totally set apart for the work of God. So remember all that. And let what Jacob said in today's first reading be true about each of you, as well as about this beautiful building. This is what he said. Listen to these words once again. Truly the Lord is in this spot, although I did not know it. And the spot that I'm referring to isn't the spot, you know, in Israel, or this spot of the National Shrine, but the spot which is your life. You were anointed with oil. And what we say about buildings and places is said even more truly about us because of our baptism. In wonder, he cried out, "How awesome is this shrine!" It really is, Monsignor Rossi. You do a wonderful work here. But the shrine that each of us is because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives through baptism is even more awesome. And we need to be grateful for that awesome gift of God's presence in our life. This is nothing else but the abode of God. And that is the gateway to heaven. What wonderful things the Lord has done for us. And we need to rejoice and be glad. Today's gospel is another story of Jesus' healing. The church is called to be the presence of Jesus Christ in the world, and so we find our vocation as a church in this reading. A couple of things I'd like to point out that we might not naturally understand when we hear this word of God. The woman that was bleeding for all those years probably was suffering from some kind of menstrual disorder. And among the Jews, that was considered unclean, and it led to social isolation. You know, this wasn't just a medical illness that she was experiencing. She was experiencing a rejection by the community or her perceived need on her own part to withdraw from the community. And so when Jesus heals her, he not only heals her illness, but he heals her isolation from the community of faith. And the church today should be busy about that kind of healing. You know, certainly healing the physical ills of others and their mental illnesses and the like. But we also need to be busy about healing the isolation of Christians from one another. And Christians, of course, from other people in the world. And just as that was a ministry of Jesus, it's a ministry of Jesus' church today. She wanted to touch just a tassel on his cloak. You know, the Jewish people hung tassels on their robes, especially the Pharisees did, in order to remind them of the importance of following the commandments that God had given them in the Torah. And she knew that if she just touched Jesus' fidelity to God's will, she would be healed. And that's what heals us. From our sicknesses, from our sins, from our social isolation, from our brothers and sisters, if we just touch the cloak of Jesus, which is a symbol of his fidelity to his Father's will. And if we do that, if we give ourselves wholly to the will of Jesus' Father, Jesus is able to do wonderful things through us, as he was able to do in the lives of the people in today's gospel. And Jesus risked being unclean himself by allowing this woman to touch him. Well, I guess he didn't allow it. She did it anyway. But Jesus, you know, was absolutely faithful to the law. He told his disciples that not a single dot or jot of the law would pass away. But he also knew that the law oriented him to service and love of others. He healed on the Sabbath. He risked being unclean in today's gospel by going to the room of this girl who had died, and he touched her. It was considered an unclean thing to do. And Jesus was willing to risk himself in the service of others, as we are called to risk ourselves in the service of those in need in our church today. Jesus, in today's gospel, is once again shown to have authority over death. And Jesus has authority in our life over our death, the death of sin, the death of selfishness. He is the Lord of life. So as we celebrate the liturgy today, we ask the Lord to destroy death as it afflicts each one of us here, that we might begin to live again in the newness of life, which always comes from contact with Jesus, who is the Lord of our lives.